Good morning, everyone. Sorry about that. Today we give thanks for our mums and our grandmothers and our nanas and nonnas and omas and whatever we call them. We just praise God for them. I'm one of them, so thank you, Lord. It's great being a grandma. I just said to Lai-Chan, it's what you suffer through motherhood to become a grandmother. Really, it's the best. It's really the best. Let's pray. Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Did you know? I should have said apologies to you, but I'll tell you later. Did you know that brushing your teeth every day can save your life? Because there is bacteria on your tongue that has been known to cause a virus in your heart. Well, that's not only true in the physical realm, but it's also true in the spiritual realm. And today we're going to look at a topic that is both simple but profound: the power of our words. As Christians, we need to understand that our words matter. They hold immense power in shaping our lives and the lives of those around us. But do we truly grasp the depth of that power? Do we truly recognise that every word we speak carries the potential to either glorify God or grieve Him? We hold in our mouths the power to build up and the power to bring down. We can make people feel good about themselves, or we can make them feel bad. We can make them want to step up and reach their goals in life, or we can crush their hopes with one negative utterance. Every day we speak thousands of words to one another. And I've recently read this fact, that women actually speak twice as many words as men. Because obviously we have to repeat everything we say. Sorry, couldn't help it. Truthfully, we are continually using our words, not just in conversations with one another, but in quick comments and jokes and opinions. And now with social media, our words and our thoughts continue online, out there in the ether, where they are quickly seen and taken in. And maybe forgotten by you, but not by others. Slide number two, thanks, Lewis. Proverbs 18:21 tells us the tongue can bring death or life to those who love it. Those who love it will eat its fruit. So Scripture tells us that our words carry weight and power, and they are never, 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 never neutral. James had quite a bit to say about the tongue in chapter 3 of his epistle. Jesus had been crucified, had risen and ascended into heaven. People had been filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And James saw the incredible slander of the Jewish authorities as many Jews accepted the teachings of Christ. He saw the destructive power of the tongue, even within the church itself, as Gentiles were added to their numbers and the Jewish members were saying that they needed to come under Jewish law if they wanted to come into the church. In other words, they had to be circumcised. There was a lot of infighting about the distribution of food to the widows of Greek-speaking Jews, and Paul also mentions this in his letter to the Galatians. But James had also witnessed many miracles taking place and tremendous numbers being added to the church daily. And in the light of all of this, he writes part of his epistle as a dedication to the tongue to remind us what harm it can do. So James 3:5-6 says, in the same way, The tongue is a small thing that makes great speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. I'm sure you're all familiar with the Star Wars movies. Did you watch last night? Empire Strikes Back was on last night. Anyone? Oh, gosh. I love Star Wars. Several years ago now, there was an all-weekend back-to-back of all the Star Wars movies, but in the right order. Oh, heaven, heaven. No, I didn't sit for 48 hours and watch the TV, but I did record them all and watch them over the next few days. And one of my favourite characters in Star Wars is a character called Jar Jar Binks. Do you, anyone remember him? Yeah, he's gorgeous. He's very tall and he looks like a cross between a giant rabbit and a kangaroo. And he's very floppy. He's got a floppy body and floppy ears and this very long tongue that whips out and grabs things. And in one of the scenes, he's with a group of people around a table having a meal. And he uses his long tongue to quickly snatch up all the food. And as he does this, Obi-Wan Kenobi grabs his tongue and he tells him to stop it. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to have a Jedi Knight like Obi-Wan so that every time we opened our mouth to say something that we shouldn't, he would just grab our tongue and say, don't do that. Well, actually, we do have someone like that who is much better than a Jedi Knight, and that's the Holy Spirit. If we could learn to tune in to the Holy Spirit and listen to his directions, we could ensure that the words that come out of our mouths every day are words of peace and harmony, words of love, words of healing and encouragement, words that have power to transform hearts. We will all be judged one day, and we will all have to stand before God and give an account of the words that we have spoken. Matthew 12, 35 tells us the good man brings good out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil from the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every callous word that they have spoken. Yes, we all stand before God justified, but we will be judged for our behaviour as believers. God loves us too much to allow us to go around and spit out of our mouths whatever we want to. And he loves all people too much for us to allow us to do it to them. And he loves us too much to allow us to do it to them. So no matter what their colour or race or creed, he is a loving heavenly Father, and he's going to discipline us and warn us when we're not doing the right thing, just like any earthly father would. A lifetime ago in another church, I used to do the children's talks every Sunday, and once I used this same passage from James. And I tried to think of a good example that the children could remember, and the best one I could come up with was this. Let's say you're about to brush your teeth and you squeeze the toothpaste tube much too hard, and all the toothpaste just comes squirting out everywhere. And once it comes out of the tube, there's no getting it back, is there? Oh, I don't think so. What comes out stays out, and you just have to clean up the mess that you've made. Well, our words are the same. Once you say something, it is out there, and there is no putting it back in our mouth and pretending that we didn't say it. People can forgive you for what you've said to them, but they very seldom forget what you've said to them. So your words do damage. I think each day when we brush our teeth, we should think about those American police shows when they arrest someone and they read them their Miranda rights. You know the words. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be held against you in a court of law. Well, for us, that court of law will be on the day of judgment. So it'd be really good exercise each day to imagine the Holy Spirit reciting those words to us as we brush our teeth. And don't forget, be careful with the toothpaste. So let's look at some of the key areas where we can ask Holy Spirit to grab our tongue so that we only speak the words that God would want us to. Number one, let us speak words that encourage others. In teaching, there's a term called learned helplessness. All the teachers in the room will know about this. And it means that if you tell a child they are dumb or they are stupid or worthless enough times, they will become the very thing that you speak over them. If you take the example of a gardener tending his garden, every word we speak is like a seed planted in the hearts of others. If we speak life-giving encouragement, those seeds will grow into something beautiful. But if we speak words of negativity and destruction, those seeds will bear bad fruit. You can change your world, by changing your words. And remember, death and life are in the power of the tongue. A teacher's encouragement can change a student's future. A parent's words can shape a child's identity for decades. A friend's affirmation can keep someone from giving up. Number two, let us speak words that heal. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body." Honey was very highly valued in biblical times for its healing properties and sweet taste, and it still is. Did you know that honey is the only food that doesn't go off? How about that? Our words can be a balm for the soul, bringing healing to those who are hurting. Our words have the capacity to shape destinies, either positively or negatively. When we choose to speak words that bless and heal, we become agents of God's grace. Number three, let us speak words that transform hearts. The ultimate goal of our words should be transformation, both in our own lives and in the lives of others. And Paul reminds us in Romans 12:2, don't copy the behaviour and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. The Greek word here for transform is metamorpho, which means a complete and radical change, much like the transformation of a caterpillar into a butterfly. Our words can play a key role in this transformation. Paul further emphasises in Colossians 4:6, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. When our speech is full of grace, it reflects the transformative power of the gospel in our lives. And Matthew 12:34 says, it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. Maya Angelou was a black American poet, quite famous in her time, sadly passed on. She spoke at Barack Obama's inauguration ceremony, in fact. And this is part of a quote that I read from her just last week. I've had rainbows in my clouds, and the thing to do, it seems to me, is to prepare yourself to be a rainbow in someone else's cloud. I love that. Number four, let us ask Holy Spirit to give us the words we need. Let's go back to James chapter 3, 8 to 12. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water. I think we should be on slide 11, Lewis. James makes the point that our mouths pose such a contradiction. We praise and curse out of the same mouth. We are calling ourselves spirit-filled. We are calling ourselves believers, ones who know Christ and love him and want to follow him, Christians, Christ-like ones. And yet, at the same time, we're speaking things that do not honour him. The words that come out of our mouths are what our hearts and minds have already agreed upon. Our hearts and minds have already shaken hands, and our words are just the end product of what's going on inside. Therefore, it is important that our hearts and minds are renewed by the Holy Spirit every day. It is a constant process. You never reach perfection, and you have to actively decide to put yourself under the Holy Spirit and allow him to change you, renew you daily, hourly, in my case. When our thinking changes, our words change because our hearts have changed. As believers, we have an obligation. Jesus won't force his will on us. It is our choice that we come, that our will comes under submission to him. He doesn't zap us and bend our minds. We have to give him permission and say, Jesus, I want to tune into your Holy Spirit. I want to hear your words. I want my mind to be renewed and my words to be renewed. Please help me. Now, I don't know if any of you can actually relate to this. It might be a bit out there. But I sometimes argue with my husband. Now, I know that's very hard for you to believe. I'm just so sweet. And it's very hard to argue with Terry because he doesn't like to argue. So he usually just walks away and refuses to respond. Or worse still, he just laughs at me, and that goes down really well. And sometimes he even pretends that his hearing aids aren't working, so he didn't hear what I said. It's true. But when we do argue, we go back and forth with our opinions, and I don't really listen to anything that he says because I'm usually just waiting for him to finish his last comment so that I can get in there with my opinion, which I know is going to floor him and win the argument for me. And right then and there is when we should ask Holy Spirit to come in and say, don't do that. And it is times like that when our obedience is really tested, when all we want to do is give our opinion because we know it's right, whether the other person wants to hear it or not. Right there, that's where the rubber hits the road, and our Jedi Knight grabs our tongue and says, shut up. And I admit to you today, I am a work in progress. Number five, let us sow what we really want to reap. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. It's in Galatians 6. The seeds that you plant will reproduce after their own time, a kind, whether for good or for evil. So you always reap what you sow, and you always reap where you sow. Some of us want to plant weeds and expect to grow roses. A farmer doesn't sow corn and expect to harvest potatoes. At our last house in Lugano, Terry made a momentous discovery that he could grow avocados from the leftover avocado seeds. So he set about planting avocado seeds in every spare pot that he could find. And when he ran out of pots, he would take the seeds with him as he walked the dogs, and he would plant them along the bush track in Everett Park. In years to come, I can imagine that people in Lugano will be saying, "Look at those avocado trees. I wonder how they got there." Now, I love avocados, but just imagine if the world is full of Terry's avocado trees. We could have avocado cornflakes for breakfast, avocado muffins for morning tea, avocado sandwiches for lunch, avocado and macadamia biscuits for afternoon tea, and avocado stew with rice for dinner. I made avocado ice cream once. It was dreadful. My point is that if you don't like avocados, don't plant avocado seeds. You'll be amazed at what grows when you plant the right seeds. If we want to reap encouragement, then let's encourage others. If you want to reap words of kindness, then we need to sow words of kindness in others. The Bible doesn't say, by their gifts you will know them. It says, by their fruit you will know them. The spiritual fruit will become the marks that define us as followers of Christ. And those fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So as we finish today, I have three tips for you to maintain a clean tongue. Tip number one, brush your tongue every day. Don't allow the bacteria to build up. Be disciplined. When you get up in the morning, say, "God, today help me to keep a guard on my mouth. Make the words I speak be words of life. Let me speak life into those I love, those I work with, and those I meet along the way." Every word that comes out of our mouth counts. And God provides us with very powerful tools to help us. One is his word. When Jesus was being tempted by the devil, he didn't quote Joel Osteen or Joyce Meyer. The thing that carried authority above all else was the word of God. Feed yourself on good books written by Christian authors by all means. But remember, in the long run, it is God's word that will give you the victory over Satan. It alone will give you a sword of righteousness to use in times of trial and temptation. The other thing that God wants us to use is his Holy Spirit. How awesome is it that God has allowed his Spirit to dwell in us? God in us. Just think about that. We are so incredibly blessed, and we have to learn to tune into the voice of God so that he can give us the words he wants us to say. God's words produce fruit, and that fruit produces life. Tip number two, wear a mouth guard. Football players, sports people all wear mouth guards. They may be very experienced players, but they need extra protection. Sometimes it's extremely hard to keep that mouthpiece in place. We just have to have our say, don't we? Especially in these modern times, as I've said, with social media, sometimes that mouthguard just slips right out of our mouth. And before we know it, we are making a comment that maybe we shouldn't. And remember, you can't take it back. If we are truly Christ-like ones, we can no longer say whatever we want. Our opinion isn't ours anymore. We are God's representatives here on earth. Our words have to meet his standards. God is truth, and he is compassion, and he is in grace, and he is love. And love is the greatest gift of all. Can we get a revelation today of just how much God loves us and how much he loves those other people around us? There is no one on this whole earth that God does not love. God loves that foul-mouthed tradesman that comes to do a job at your house. God loves that person at work that really annoys you. God loves that neighbour whose dog barks day and night. God loves that cranky old man who lives up the street. And God loves those noisy kids who play soccer right outside your house. So wear a mouth guard and let it be made from God's amazing love. Tip number 3, have a regular checkup. Bad breath most often comes from inside. We need to go to Jesus regularly for a checkup. Jesus is the tongue cleanser and the heart healer. Sad to say, it is not only our words that can destroy others. There is also destruction in the words that others have spoken over us throughout our lives. I don't think there's anyone who at some time in their life has not been touched by words that have hurt or wounded them. Words that have left them bitter and angry, that fester in their hearts. It could have been the kids at school, a workmate, a friend, even a parent. Some have known abuse in their childhood. Some have been deluged with negativity, like, you're no good. You'll never amount to anything. Satan fires those words like arrows. And they take root in our heart and in our spirit, and they stay with us, and they condition us every day. And hard as it might be, we need to repent and ask forgiveness for any hurt that we have caused in the lives of others, and for any unforgiveness that we hold against others who have hurt us along the way. We need to go to the tongue cleanser and the heart healer often and regularly. I'm going to finish with just a little story. There was once a man who owned a dog who had been tied up on a very long rope in his yard because there were no fences on their property. And the dog could see other dogs run by, and he often ran to bark at them or people that were passing by. But he always stopped at exactly the length of rope that he was tied to, because he knew from years of conditioning that that was as far as he could go without wrenching on his neck. So one day the man decided to untie that rope that was holding the dog back, and he undid the rope at the stake, not the collar. So he let the rope hang freely from the dog's neck. And once again, the dog ran to bark at someone passing by. But he stopped at exactly the space where he had always stopped. He didn't know that he was free. He didn't know that one more step, he would have found freedom. And sometimes the words that are spoken over us in our childhood keep us tied like that dog. You take a few steps forward, but the words from your past come back flooding in, and you're overwhelmed by anger and insecurity and self-doubt and depression once again. Well, there is incredibly good news for you today. In Jesus Christ, the bondage of those imprisoned by their past can be broken. In Jesus Christ, those words from your past have no power over you anymore. In Jesus Christ, we can tame our tongues. In Jesus Christ, We have no excuses. So let's go for that checkup right now. Just close your eyes and let Holy Spirit speak into your heart as you hear these words. Lord Jesus, touch me, heal me, renew me. Lord, forgive me for the times I have grieved your spirit by the words that have come out of my mouth. Let me understand, Lord, that I have no excuse for this behaviour. Help me to forgive those who have hurt me in the past by their words. Lord, heal my heart. Let me be whole on the inside. Help me, Lord, from this day to speak love and life and blessings and encouragement into the lives of others. In your holy name I pray.